Welcome to the ITAD Talk Podcast with your host, Jeff Bittner.
So I'd like to welcome our guests this morning, Patty McKenzie and Roger Grivey, if I'm saying that correct, Roger, your last name?
You are.
Great.
Yes, you are.
Okay. And they are both with sustainableelectronics.org. And they're the ones that set the standards for us for our R2 certifications. It's been 12 years since the original standard of the R2 standard was released in 2008. The third version of the standard, R2V3, was released in 2020. Why is it that we need a change in the standards?
Well, that's a great question. You know, in 2013, we released the second version, and that was different in that it placed more emphasis on reuse and data security. And it was revised again and released in July of 2020, and again, heightened requirements and enhanced requirements on data security, but it was also restructured to fit the needs of a really evolving industry. The industry is really changing by the number of new industry sectors that are requiring R2 certification for their third-party service providers. We have an example of that. In a recent study by Gartner, 60% of legal and compliance leaders reported that their organizations were increasingly using these third parties to provide services outside of their core business model. And this is something that we're definitely seeing in our industry. We look at retail returns, warranty repairs, trade-ins, remarketing of devices, and OEM take-back programs. So all of these different industry sectors are increasingly relying on R2.
Yeah, and it seems like when we were just at the reuse e-scrap show here a few weeks ago, that one of the trends is the specialization. And so that in the past, it seems like a lot of ITAD companies kind of did everything for everybody. And now some are specializing, whether it be in cell phones or maybe certain types of recycling and the types of processes, for example. Like, we're really good in the data center takeout and memory and processors, hard drives, things like that. So it just seems like there is a lot of specialization going on. Are you guys seeing that as a trend also?
We really are, and that's one of the great things about the new structure of R2V3 is that it really allows companies to tailor their certification based on the specific activities that they're engaged in, because not all R2 certified organizations have the same, offer the same services or perform the same processes. So with the new structure of R2V3, facilities can tailor their certification to precisely what they do and allow them to really cater to these different industry sectors.
Great.
In the old version of the standard, Jeff, there were a number of requirements that everybody had to do. It was a full list, and it was required of every part of the recycling industry to comply. So in the new one, as Patty mentioned, the specialized companies can navigate their way through the requirements by selecting which sectors they wish to be certified to. Instead of everybody trying to do everything, we designed it so that, yes, there are more requirements, but there are very few companies that need to comply with every single requirement in the new standard.
So whereas maybe a lot of companies were doing things that weren't necessary for their specialization or the part of the industry that they focused on, so they were having to do more than was necessary?
Yes, precisely. Or it was incumbent on them to be able to explain to their auditor and try to convince them that something did or did not apply, which made for some hazy certification issues between the R2 facilities and the auditors. So this clarifies it, and everybody knows what's required as they enter the audit process, and then they can adjust their operations for the entire year based on that.
Okay. And while we're on that, Roger, you were involved in the development of R2V3. Can you tell us how and who determined the changes in this new version?
Sure. The structure of SERI is it's quite interesting. We have a staff of a core staff of people who facilitate the day-to-day operations, and of course a board because we're a nonprofit. But in addition, we have a technical advisory committee made up of roughly two dozen people, between 24 and 30 people from different sectors, and they're divided up into three main areas. These areas are entities controlled by the R2 standard, the actual facilities being audited and being granted certifications. The second group is regulatory bodies, governmental groups, consultants, groups like that. And the third group are equipment manufacturers and professional associations that that work with those manufacturers. So coming to the table are three very different viewpoints, and the consensus reached by those three viewpoints results in the new standard. So it took, how long, Patty? 4.5 years to do it.
Hey. And, big effort.
Yeah, it was the number of groups and subgroups, and we've got the hours. There's hundreds and hundreds of hours and dozens of meetings over the phone and in person. Eventually, getting comments from the public, we released a draft version and got, I think it was 750 some comments from the public, and we looked at every single one of them and addressed each one. And then once those were addressed and the answers were published, we had a second round of public input. Again, 90 days long, and then we answered those to let the public know where it was going, and draft versions released and such. So it was a long process, but cooperative, and it doesn't please everyone, but it pleases most, which is the whole point of a standard like this created by consensus.
Okay, and Roger, what are some of the key requirement changes?
Well, as Patty mentioned, the biggest one is the division of the standard into two areas. There are 10 core requirements that everyone needs to do, and these are really shorter than the requirements in the older version of the R2 standard. And then, in addition to the 10 core requirements, there are 6 process requirements called appendices that R2 facilities can choose to do or not do depending on what they're actually doing, and that is the. That's the heart of it. By navigating through this process, they can decide what they want to do and also what they want to send to somebody else who might be certified in a different area. So it allowed for that flexibility.
Okay.
Specifically, there's no more use of R2 ready for reuse, resale, R2 ready for repair. Excuse me, those are gone. A very enhanced set of requirements for data standardization. The pollution insurance does not apply to everybody anymore. It used to be a standard requirement that everyone had to deal with it, even though they might be just a broker, for instance. Now it's required only for those facilities that have a need to do so, that are doing materials recovery, for which it was originally designed. We have an addition of a required quality management system for some of the appendices. If companies are doing test and repair, for instance, there's need to maintain a quality of their output, a process for handling returns and such like that, which falls perfectly under the areas controlled by a quality management system. So the other really major thing, and Patty, jump in here, that the need to close nonconformances in an audit, if for an internal audit process, nonconformances are found, they need to be corrected before the final third-party audit. And then after the third-party audit, which is an annual event, the facilities need to close those before their certificate is issued. So in the past, we've had conditions that have come up that need to be corrected, but might not be corrected until the next year's audit. And if there's, for instance, a safety issue that might not be corrected for 10 months, that is not good to have around a facility. So we decided to change that to make sure that everything is closed within 90 days and closed before the certificate can be issued. So the facilities are very much incentivized to get their new certificate, to close the things that are wrong and to just fix them.
Don't forget to subscribe and like the show on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you listen.